What we're doing in the experiment today is looking at antacids. So we're going to be creating an Erlenmeyer with which we're pretending that we have an upset stomach. As I might have mentioned in lecture, inside your digestive system, you effectively have something that produces hydrochloric acid. So you have a really extremely environment inside of your stomach. And an antacid is nothing more than a base that helps to neutralize some of that hydrochloric acid. So you've got three different phases of what you're supposed to do for the experiment today. First, you've got to prepare the Erlenmeyer with hydrochloric acid. Then you're going to crush up and add an antacid tablet. And then you're going to effectively do a titration, which is where we add base to try to determine how much acid was present there. So if you turn to the data table on page 117, there's a little bit of change in the way that we're going to have to take the data because we have glassware that doesn't exactly match what we're supposed to be using in the procedure. And before I even talk about anything else, I wanted to talk about items 3 and 4 on the data table because the other section seemed to have difficulty with the concept of the initial and final volume. So I don't know if you can recall back at the beginning of the quarter, we talked about different kinds of glassware. And one of the most accurate or precise forms of glassware is a burette, which is a long, slender tube that has a bunch of markings on it. And the way that we use a burette is that we fill the burette up to a certain volume level to begin with, and we record that volume, whatever it says on the side, based on where the liquid level is. And then we use the burette, and after we're done, the liquid level will be at a new position, and we write that liquid level down when we're done. So then if we take the difference between where we started and where we ended, that gives us the amount of liquid that's used. So we only dispense one quantity of liquid in doing that, but we measured two values, where the level of the burette was where we began and where the level of the burette ended up at. So in the data table, that's what's referred to here by the initial and final volume. And even in the general chemistry class, there ends up being confusion of those terms. Initial volume doesn't mean how much did you initially use. Final volume doesn't mean how much did you finally use. It means what was the level of the burette once you first filled it, and then what was the level of the burette when you were done with it. So if you take the difference between those two, that's the amount of liquid that you actually used, which is what the number 5 is on that data table. So what you're supposed to do in the first part of the experiment is measure out about 30 milliliters of hydrochloric acid. We're going to be using 25 milliliter burettes, which means we're going to have to fill them twice. And the way that the numbers work is that if you fill it all the way up, then that's going to be 0 in terms of the volume. Now, that means you have a full burette, but again, we don't pay attention to how much is actually in the burette. We just look at the level where the liquid is. So first time through, you'll fill it up to 0, empty it down to the 25 mark, and that'll be 25 milliliters of liquid that you've added in. And then you'll fill it back up again to about the 20 milliliter mark, and then empty down to the 25 milliliter mark, because that difference will be about 5 milliliters. Now, let me show you the burette, because they come disassembled, although it's really easy to put them together. So you have the valve that's on a plastic connector here, and then you have one end of the burette that's a little narrower than the other. That's where the plastic bit fits in. So just very gently squeeze those in, and it easily comes together. The valve knob itself, when it is lined up the same direction as the burette, in other words, when it's parallel to the direction of the burette, that means it's open, and then when you twist it so that it's crosswise, so that it's perpendicular, that's when it's closed. So you want to make sure you have it closed before you begin, otherwise everything just drains out. And again, if you look at the markings on the side here, 0's at the top, 25's at the bottom, so that if you take wherever you end up, your final volume, and you subtract where you had filled up originally, your initial volume, that difference is going to be the amount of liquid that you used. So since we have a smaller burette than what's called for in the procedure, you're actually going to have two entries on line 3 and two entries on line 4. Because you're going to fill it up twice, you're going to use it twice, so you can take the difference between those volumes, number 4 and number 3, subtract out for both of those pairs of measurements and the total amount of liquid that you end up using, that's what you're going to put there for item number 5. So again, you're going to fill it up to 0. And remember that since we have water that we're using in a narrow tube, it's going to have that curve, that meniscus. And if you might not recall, the way that we handle measuring volume with the meniscus is that you make sure that the very bottom of that meniscus exactly touches the line where you want to fill up to. So you fill it up to 0, so your first initial volume will be 0. Empty it down to 25, which is not all the way down at the bottom. The markings stop a little bit above that. So empty it down to 25. That'll be your first final volume. Then, like I said, you'll fill it up to 20. Empty it down to 25. And so that'll be a total of 30 milliliters of hydrochloric acid that you're going to add in. So if I just wanted to put it in picture form, you have an Erlenmeyer, which, recall, that is a tapered piece of glassware. We use that because the base is pretty wide, so it's harder to knock over. And because the sides are tapered, that means you can swirl it around without as much worry about the liquid splashing out. So first thing you'll do is add approximately 30 milliliters of hydrochloric acid. Now this is half molar hydrochloric acid that we're using, which is moderately concentrated. It's not so hazardous that if you get it on you, you need to immediately panic. But if you did leave it for prolonged periods of time on your skin, it could cause irritation. Or if you left it for a really long time, it could cause some damage. So what I'm saying is if you get it on you, you don't need to panic. Just wash it off with a fair amount of water in the sink. Which, to comment on that, I know that the sinks all have these signs that say, do not dispose of chemicals in this sink. But if you have something where you've been exposed to chemicals and you need to wash yourself off, personal safety overrides the fact that we're not supposed to dump chemicals down the sink. So if you get something on you, don't be worried about trying to wash it off. Not likely to happen, but I'm just saying if you had a leak in your burette or something like that and you accidentally get it on you, just make sure that you wash it off with a good amount of water. Now, the other thing you're going to be adding into your Erlenmeyer at first is 2 drops of phenolphthalein. It's only mentioned very briefly in one section of your lecture text, but you might remember talking about indicators the other day. And indicators are chemicals that change their color depending on the pH of the environment that they're in. And what we're going to be doing, like I said, is we'll start out with this acid in the Erlenmeyer flask, which is supposed to be replicating the hydrochloric acid you've got in your stomach. You're going to add an antacid to it, which is going to react with some, but not quite all of the hydrochloric acid. And then we'll be adding sodium hydroxide, doing a neutralization reaction. So right after we react the last little bit of acid, that means we're going from an acidic environment to a basic environment. And that's what causes phenolphthalein to change colors. Phenolphthalein is going to be clear in acidic environments, but as soon as it goes basic, it turns a bright pink. And so we add the indicator in the hydrochloric acid to start with, so that once we reach that point where everything's reacted, we'll have a very obvious color change. So now let me just read through the procedure. I think I touched on everything already, but one small thing is when you fill up the burette, it's always possible you might end up with air bubbles in there. So it does say to remove any air bubbles before you actually dispense it. You might have to drain a little bit of the liquid out and refill it again. But then it talks about the initial and final volume. So it says record the initial volume. Once you fill it up, it says to add 30 milliliters in, but remember we're splitting that up into two quantities. So you could split it up 25 and 5, or you could do 15 and 15. After you add in the hydrochloric acid, you are supposed to add in the phenolphthalein. And we're doing this experiment a total of twice. If you look at the data table, you're supposed to be comparing three different antacids, but I only found two different antacids that we have. So we'll do one trial with each of the antacids. So you need to prepare two different Erlenmeyer flasks. Then the next thing you're going to be doing is crushing up the antacid tablet to add it into the Erlenmeyer. So we have what are here over here what are known as mortar and pestles. So the mortar is the main base, and the pestle is the thing that you grind with. So you just get an antacid tablet, put it in, grind it up into a nice fine powder, and then you need to measure the mass of that powder that you use. We're not going to measure the tablet first because inevitably there's going to be a little bit of the antacid that gets stuck to the mortar and pestle. So what we're going to do is you're going to grind it up and then you're going to put it on a piece of paper called weighing paper, which just like it sounds like, it's something that you use to be able to weigh the solid out. The box of the weighing paper should be in the balance room right next to one of the balances. And what I recommend, it's just a small square piece of paper. And I recommend that you fold it in half to make it easier to pour your solid out afterwards. So what you'll do is you'll transfer the crushed up antacid tablet to the paper. You'll measure the mass of the antacid and the paper together. Then you'll pour the antacid into the Erlenmeyer flask and measure the mass of the paper again. So in other words, we're going to be doing a measurement of mass by difference. Because again, if you end up with any of the antacids stuck to the paper, we don't want to count that mass as part of what went into the sample. So that's why we measure the mass of the antacid in the paper first, and then after adding it in, we measure the mass of the paper alone. And that difference will be the mass of the antacid that actually got into the Erlenmeyer flask. So, reading through the procedure, it says to record which brand that we have. So, one of them is Tums. One of them, I think, is a Costco version of an antacid. Crush up the tablet. Transfer it to... We don't have a weighing dish. We have weighing paper. Record the mass, the combined mass of the paper and the antacid. Then you transfer all of that powder into the Erlenmeyer. One tablet goes into each Erlenmeyer for each of the different samples. And then you want to make sure that you swirl the contents of the Erlenmeyer around to make sure that everything reacts. Now, one of the antacids is white. One of the antacids has some coloring compound in it. You'll be able to tell the difference between the color of the antacid itself and the phenolphthalein. So phenolphthalein is itself a bright pink when it turns colors, and it's a different pink than the color of the antacid tablet itself. So don't worry about the color of the antacid when you crush it up. You'll be able to see that color change. So you have the hydrochloric acid you're starting with, and then you'll have your crushed up antacid sample that you'll add in second. And then you'll be doing a titration afterwards with sodium hydroxide, which I forgot to show you the setup for this. So in the back of the room, underneath, there's an oven over there. There are what are referred to as ring stands. And then right up here in front, we have the burette clamps. The way the burette clamps work is you have a screw on one side. So you use that to attach the clamp to the base. And then you have two sets of these clamps. If you just squeeze on the metal part of the clamp itself, that opens it up. And you put the burette inside the rubber knobs. Gently let go, and it'll just hold it there so you don't have to hold the burette up yourself. So you'll have... you could reuse the burette, but it might be easier if you have one burette that's for the acid, one burette for the base. Make sure you label which one is which. Don't depend on you remembering. If you just even have like a small piece of scrap paper, you could put one down below and label one as the acid, one as the base. Technically, if we were trying to be really careful, you're supposed to condition the burette before you use it. And what that's related to is the fact that the glass can hold on to a little bit of acid or base. H plus and OH minus, those ions can stick to glass. So that if you have a burette that's already been used before, normally what we would do is wash the insides out a little bit with whatever we're using to make sure that the environment of the glass somehow doesn't interfere with the chemicals that we're using. Your procedure doesn't say to do it. It's probably not going to affect your results in this case, but that's why I'm recommending that you might want to have two different burettes that you use, one for the acid, one for the base. So we're using half molar sodium hydroxide, just like the half molar hydrochloric acid. So same thing related to safety. Half molar sodium hydroxide won't immediately damage your skin, but if you get it on you, you want to make sure that you wash off. What you're going to be doing is you're going to fill up your burette, and again, you'll fill it up and record whatever that volume level is on the side, and then you're going to add the sodium hydroxide drop-wise to the Erlenmeyer flask. And as you add the sodium hydroxide in, you're going to swirl the flask around to see if it reacts. Now, what you might notice is right where the hydroxide drops into the Erlenmeyer, right at the surface there, it might temporarily turn pink when that sodium hydroxide hits the surface because it can react with the indicator, the phenolphthalein. But when you swirl the solution around, if there's still more acid, the acid will turn that phenolphthalein back clear again. So you'll add it in, you might see the color turn pink temporarily, but as you swirl, the color disappears, and you keep doing that process of adding a little sodium hydroxide at a time until you get to the point where that last drop of sodium hydroxide that you add in changes the color and the color doesn't change back. And like I said, even if you're using the antacid that's got some coloration to it, you'll see an obvious color difference once the phenolphthalein kicks in. So let me just read over the directions here. It says, fill the other burette with half molar sodium hydroxide, again, making sure that you get rid of any air bubbles that are there, and you record whatever volume that the level of the liquid happens to come up to. Main thing is, in what it's describing next, is you don't want to add too much sodium hydroxide all at once. Because you want to make sure you get just barely to the point where all the hydrochloric acid has just barely been neutralized. So you, and it even mentions here that the phenolphthalein may turn pink initially, but as you swirl it around, that pink color will disappear. As you're getting closer to that point of neutralization, the pink color will take longer and longer to disappear. And like I said, it's when you add that last drop and the color doesn't disappear again that you know that you're at the end of the titration. So at that point, whatever the volume of the liquid is that at that moment, you're going to record that down as your final volume. So where you started with it filled up, which will probably be zero, that's your initial volume. Wherever it is once you're done, that's your final volume. And the difference between the two is the amount of sodium hydroxide that you actually used. So the third part of this is to add sodium hydroxide drop-wise until the color of the solution remains bright pink. So if you turn back to your data table again, the first page there, we talked about the top part there where you're going to record the brand of the antacid that you used. The active ingredient, I'll tell you next lab when we discuss the calculations. Down below, it refers to the weighing dish. Remember, we have weighing paper instead. And that's where you're going to be getting the mass of the antacid tablet. Then if you turn the page, the sodium hydroxide, That initial and final volume, those are the first two items there. And then the difference between those two numbers, how much you really did use, that's line three. Lines 4, 5, and 6, you don't need to worry about because we'll do that together as a class when we go over the calculations. So as far as what you need to fill out today, it's page 117 and then the first three items on page 118. So again, we have two different antacid tablets, so you're going to be doing the procedure twice. Once you're done, all of the waste from today's lab is going to go into a waste bucket that's already over there and labeled. It turned out that overall we had more hydrochloric acid that was used than sodium hydroxide. So the waste container is labeled for hydrochloric acid. The reason I'm pointing that out is if I didn't talk about it before at the beginning of the quarter, even when we're getting rid of chemicals, even when we have a chemical waste bottle, we have to segregate chemicals according to the type of chemical that they are. And the reason for that is imagine that we had an earthquake or something like that where the bottle somehow breaks or gets spilled. These waste bottles are in a larger container that's called secondary containment. And that's so that if the bottle breaks, the liquid doesn't just flow out through the room. But suppose you have multiple bottles within that same secondary container. Well, then they need to be the same type of chemical so they don't end up reacting with each other. So acids and bases, normally we're supposed to dispose of separately. But of course, in today's experiment, we're directly reacting an acid and a base. So it's allowable in this case for us to mix all the waste together. So if you have any leftover antacid powder that didn't get used, that can be disposed of in the waste bottle. And if you had any excess sodium hydroxide after your second trial, if you had any excess hydrochloric acid, because we're doing the experiment where you're supposed to react all those, you can dispose all of them together in the waste bottle. Now, technically, the waste bottle is not supposed to be left open, so it is closed off at the moment. There is a funnel that's located right here, though, so whenever you need to empty the waste, just take off the waste bottle cap. You can put the funnel here to reduce how much is splashing outside of the waste bottle. And if you're the last person using the waste bottle at that moment, if you could just make sure the cap gets back on it. It'll be obvious which one of these to use because there's one of them that's got the pink color of the antacid right here. That's the one that you should dispose all of your waste in. Once you've dumped out your powder, once you've dumped out your Erlenmeyers or your burettes, then because there's only a trace amount of the chemical that would be left there, you can do the rest of the washing off your glassware in the sink. You do want to make sure that you rinse out your burettes pretty thoroughly, just so that the next section that has to use them, it's already set for them. All the glassware that you're going to need is already located over here on the carts, so if you could just make sure to put that back when you're done. And then same thing with the stands and the burette clamps. If you can put those back where they came from just to keep the lab cleaned up. Did anyone have any questions on what you're supposed to be doing for the experiment? Even if you didn't read ahead of time, I think it's pretty straightforward. Well, if we don't have any questions, let's go ahead and get started.